I'm so worried. Take 8. 1, 2, 3, 4.
I'm so worried about what's happening today in the Middle East, you know. And I'm so worried about the baggage retrieval system they've got at Heathrow.
I know the song is a bit tongue-in-cheek, but I think Monty Python have a point. Some of the things that people worry about are so unnecessary. Can we put the first slide up, please, Julian? Everyone is familiar with worry. We all have worries. We all have those things that cause us problems. And I want to start today on what probably will end up being a series, I think, after my research this week, about what worry does, about what the Bible says about worry, and practical ways to deal with it. It's all well and good for us to say the Bible says this, but what are the practical ways that we can apply what the Bible says to help us with our worries? The world has always had things to be anxious about. Things that cause people anxiety. Wars, famine, disease, crime, natural disaster, financial crises, relationship breakdowns. But somehow, anxiety seems to be more prevalent now. Well, at least there's lots of people talking about it anyway. And instead of it being something that we all experience, because we do, some people begin to define themselves by their worry, by their anxiety. I've heard expressions like, but I have anxiety issues. And people are anxious about money, their children, their work and family balance, politics, we're worried about China, crime, sickness, study, job, finding love, the unknown, being a single parent, house issues, car issues, COVID. Now, I'm not belittling the power of anxiety and worry. I have a son who has PTSD, and he has deep, deep issues purely because of what happened to him in Afghanistan. But he actually has some things that he uses as coping mechanisms. The fact is, no matter what level of anxiety you are at, you need to find coping mechanisms. You need to find a remedy for decreasing that anxiety. It's all well and good for say, well, yeah, but this is happening to me. But things are happening to people all over the world. And I believe that God wants us to think differently about the things that confront us in our world. And it's very interesting, there's quite a theme this morning through that in the songs and in the prayer time and in communion as well. People blame a variety of things, but let's be honest, these situations have existed throughout history. If you lived in the time of the Black Plague, it wouldn't have been a very nice time. If you lived during World War I, it wouldn't have been a great time. If you lived during the great financial crisis in the 30s, it wouldn't have been a great time. If you lived as somebody who tried to live hand to mouth with a hunter and collector existence, it wouldn't have been easy. There would have been things to worry about. Nothing has changed, I believe. Nothing has changed. It's just the way that we handle anxiety. Now, some of our anxieties might be different. We might worry about different things, but worry is prevalent in all of us. Some cope better than others, and why is that? Even Jesus, 2,000 years ago, talked about our potential for anxiety. Anxiety is real, anxiety is prevalent, and anxiety is a problem. And it's a problem for at least three reasons, and I'm going to go through those a bit later. I'll tell you what they are, and then we'll go through them in depth later. Anxiety is unhealthy, it's unproductive, and it's unbecoming. See, the truth is, worry's a bit like a rocking chair. It gives you something to do, but doesn't get you a whole lot further. How should you and I, as Christians, approach the problem of anxiety? What can we do about it? And I believe we need to find ways to manage that. Now, I have anxieties too. I have things that I worry about. One of my greatest worries, and Chris will understand this and some others do, I have this problem with time. Punctuality to me is one of the best traits you can actually show. because it shows respect for somebody if you're on time. And I have this problem with it, though, because I like to be on time to everything. So much so, let me finish. There was enough of Danny and Matt looking at each other without you and me looking at each other. Brilliant job this morning, too. Where was I? My wife interrupted me. That's where I was. Eh? Yeah, time. So the thing with time, the problem I have with time is that I need to be there by then, and if this happens on the way, I'm going to be late. Now, if it's just going to Colonnades to shop, it doesn't matter. But if I've got an appointment, something I need to be at, like a concert or an appointment or a meeting, I tend to decrease my anxiety by leaving early, particularly going to the airport, Lynn. And Chris goes, you waste too... Please, let me just finish. No, I mean, we do now. But then you still don't get up in time to walk across to the other side. The problem I have with time is that I don't want to be late for anything. And I've had this issue all my life. And the way I manage it, as I said, is to make sure I leave enough time. For example, if we're going to the airport, we will leave at least a half an hour earlier than we probably need to. Chris goes, why are we doing that? Why are we going to sit around at... All right, maybe an hour then. Maybe why are we going to sit around at the airport for... Can you listen and not talk? Why are we going so early? I said, if something happens on the way, if there's an accident, if there's traffic problems, if we have a flat tire, we're going to be late to catch our plane. Oh, but we're going to sit in the airport for an hour. Well, yeah, but you want to sit at home for an hour instead. What's the difference? At least at the airport, we can go to the lounge and have some food and drinks. Calm our nerves before we get on the plane. And this came to light a few years ago. Many years ago, I had to perform at a wedding. It wasn't actually about performing the ceremony. I was playing at this wedding. And it was the other side of town. Chris wasn't around. She was in China at the time. And I thought, other side of town, I've got to set up the equipment. So I work it in my head. I need this long to set up the equipment. I need to find out what the venue's like, look around, make sure I've got everything in my head where I'm going to be, all that sort of stuff. So I'll add half an hour. And I added half an hour. I came out of the house at Wollonga, and when I hit McLarenvale, there was a massive pothole, and my tyre went clunk, and a puncture went straight down, because my car said stop. Tells me when I've got a puncture. I had got a boot full of equipment, right? So I think, by the time I get the equipment, I've got these lovely clothes on to go and play. I don't want to get filthy dirty, so I rang the RAA. I said, can you be here within half an hour? They said, yep, we'll get there. We promise you that. So I started to unpack the boot, because that's where the spare tyre is. And by the time I had everything on the pavement opposite the shopping centre, RAA turns up, changes my wheel for me, chucks it back in. He helps me put all the gear back in. And I turned up just in time for the setup and preparation. That's why I do it. So you might go, why are you worrying about time? I do worry, but I manage it. I manage my stress by ensuring that I don't have too much stress when I get there. It's about managing things, and we need to do that. Preparation. I am supremely prepared for everything. I actually have my to-do list for the next 6 weeks done in the office. And I pull one out and I go, right, I've done that, so that can come off. But this has come in, so I've got to put that on. It's about me being prepared. That's how I manage my worry, my stress, my anxiety. And I find that I'm a much calmer person at the airport if I get there in time for a drink and something to eat. And I know it frustrates you, but that's fine. You take your car. It will come to that. I'm sure it will one day. Well, if you're not ready, I'm going without you, babe. What can we do about it? How can we manage our anxieties in our lives? And we've all got them. So we need to understand anxiety. Next slide, thanks, Julian. Anxiety is distress about future uncertainties characterized by mental agitation and uneasiness. It primarily has to do with what might happen, either in the near or distant future. And you know, one of my recurring nightmares, I don't have dreams very often. When I do, the recurring nightmare, I wake up with Chris and I say, guess what dream I had last night? She goes, you're on your way to the airport and you're late. Yep. I'm not exaggerating. I have these crazy dreams where I'm running around and I can't find my way to the airport. And so it's underlying there, but when I wake up, I go, well, that was silly because I'm going to leave early. It doesn't matter. Anxiety is caused by real or imagined threats. Social rejection and bullying, for example. Physical injury, disease, failure, poverty, death. And it creates feelings of vulnerability and powerlessness. Next slide, thanks, Julian. It leads to a sense of insecurity. Something bad is going to happen, and we feel insecure. A feeling of helplessness. There's nothing I can do. And then feelings of isolation. There's no one to help me. One of the greatest tools that I use in life coaching is I ask somebody, okay, what is it you want to achieve? And when they tell me, I say, well, what's stopping you? And then I get to this point where I say, what's the worst thing that can happen if you don't make it? What's the worst thing? And I've had people who've got study dreams, and I've said to them, you know, when do you want to start? I want to start by saying, so what's the worst case scenario if you can't start? Well, I'll start 6 months later. That's the worst thing that can happen. So learn to manage that. Think about it. Okay, worst thing can happen. If this doesn't work, that doesn't work, that doesn't work, this is what I'll do. That way you have an escape route from your anxiety. You have a way out of your worry. So as I said before, there's three things about anxiety. The first one is this. Anxiety is unhealthy. It leads to nervousness, fear, irritability, sleeplessness, irrationality. I'm sometimes quite irrational about time. It causes tension and a general sense of feeling overwhelmed. I can't cope. It can affect the serotonin and dopamine in your brain. It can cause disturbing and obsessive thoughts. It can cause agitation and anger and annoyance. It can make you feel moody, lonely, sad, depressed. And let's talk about the physical symptoms. Aches and pains, stiffness and breathing difficulties, chest pains and concentration problems, digestive issues, insomnia, low energy, forgetfulness, high blood pressure and circulation problems, hormone imbalance, migraines, weight gain or weight loss, hair loss and ringing in the ears. These are just some of the physical symptoms in addition to the emotional and spiritual symptoms. Dr. Charles Mayo from the Mayo Clinic wrote this. Worry, Julian, can we go to next one, thanks. Okay. Worry affects the circulation, the heart, the glands, and the whole nervous system. I've never met a man or known a man to die of overwork, but I have known a lot who died of worry. We can literally worry ourselves to death. Anxiety is unhealthy. The next thing, next slide, thanks, Julian. Anxiety is unproductive. I really like how Jesus put it. Matthew 6:27, can any of you, by worrying, add a single hour to your life? If we flip it back to the unhealthy, in fact, worrying makes you lose hours in your life. You're losing time because you're making your body unhealthy. You're giving it hypertension and all those other things that cause your body to shut down. What good has worry ever done for you? What good has worry ever done for me? All that anxiety, how's that working for you? I mean, it's not getting you anywhere. Is it? Are you better? Are you more productive when you worry? No, I reckon you're worse. Jesus' point is worrying won't change anything. Nothing, nada, zilch, nil, zippo. Think for a moment about the things that we worry about. Let's talk about some big things. Politics. Who of you, by worrying, can change the outcome of an election? Finances. Who of you, by worrying, can put an extra dollar in your pocket? Relationships. Who of you, by worrying, can change another person? Work or study. Worrying about that unfinished task, does that get it done? Actually, it's not true to say that worrying won't change anything. Next slide. It will. It'll make things worse. That's why Jesus said, don't do it. It's unproductive. Don't be anxious about anything. I was reading some research on all of this, trying to get a handle on whether it is more prevalent now or not. But they did some research a few years ago on anxiety and worry. And in this testing that they did, quite a large percentage of people, 85% of the things people worry about never happen. Of the 15% that does happen, 79% of those people found they were able to handle the difficulty better than they thought they could, or the difficulty taught them lessons worth learning. The research has concluded 97% of what we worry about is just a fearful mind punishing you with exaggeration and misconception. Corrie Ten Boom had a reason to worry. Some of you might know about her. During World War II, her Jewish family had to hide from the Nazis. Later, she was captured with her family and ended up in a concentration camp. Now, that's something to worry about. Watching people around you dying, seeing how the Nazis treated you. And she said this, worry does not empty tomorrow of its sorrow. It empties today of its strength. Come on, I know that. I understand that so much. The number of times I've worried, not slept at night, got up the next morning and fixed it, and it was like, that was simple. Sometimes when you ring me and you say, can I come and see you, Pastor? I go, oh, God. I go to bed and I think, but actually, I've got better because I just give it to the Lord now. It's like, God, I don't know what they want. I don't even know if I'm smart enough to have the answer that they want, but I trust you. Just help me to love them through it. And I found that in ministry, I worry less than I did 20 years ago. That's for sure, because I'm learning to trust God. So anxiety is unhealthy, it's unproductive, and stay with me here, anxiety is unbecoming. Thanks. It's unbecoming. Doesn't look good on you. Matthew 6 says, so do not worry, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or what shall we wear? For the pagans run after all these things, and your heavenly Father knows that you need them. That's encouraging. He knows what you need. Now, it makes sense for those who don't know God to be anxious and to worry about things. Why? Because, well, when people think that they are dangling in some inexplicable universe with no design and no plan and no purpose, when they believe they are nothing more than products of random chance, when they don't know why they're here or where they're going, there has to be an area of concern there, right? You have to worry. What's this all about? No wonder they run around in circles chasing after these things, worrying about them. However, for a follower of Jesus to run around the same way, to have the same kind of anxieties, is saying to the God who feeds the birds of the air and clothes the flowers of the fields and holds the whole universe together, it's like saying, I don't trust you. I don't trust you, God. Your word said, I don't trust you. I know it says there, and it's in red letters because Jesus said it, but I don't trust you, God. And it says to a watching world, that our God isn't that great because we're just as fearful and just as anxious as they are. We ruin our witness. Do what you need to do and let God do the rest. Now, if you go into an exam and you've not prepared, you've got a right to worry. But if you go into an exam, you've done all the prep, leave the rest to God. If you know that you've done everything you possibly can by leaving an hour early to get to the airport, leave the rest to God. And I'll remind you when you're not up in time. But anxiety really is a problem. It's unhealthy, it's unproductive, and it really is unbecoming for a Christian to continually, like, we all have worries, we all have things that bring the anxiety, but how do we deal with that? Do we then let it flow through our brains and sideline us and sidetrack us to the point where we are functioning less than God wants us to function? And it steals and devours like a roaring lion your thoughts, your peace, your joy, your confidence, your faith, your witness, your health, and your productivity. Everyone has a level of stress in their lives. But when this crosses over into fear and disabling anxiety, it becomes sin. For a Christian, anxiety and worry are really about doubting God's power, God's goodness, and God's faithfulness. I believe that the root cause of anxiety is fear. Fear of what may happen. How many times, though, does God say, fear not? He doesn't say fear if, he says fear not. George Muller, great Christian, he said this. Next one. The beginning of anxiety is the end of faith. And the beginning of true faith is the end of anxiety. Do you get it? The beginning of anxiety is the end of faith. It's where your faith starts to wane. And the beginning of true faith is when the anxiety will lessen. So how can we overcome the problems of anxiety and worry? Well, although we can't eradicate it entirely from our everyday experience, we can learn to handle it the right way. We need to deal with the cause and not just the symptoms, and we need God's remedy. And we're going to be looking at that over the next few messages that I'm preaching. See, some people say, I just need to get away for a while. Some people say, I just need a less stressful job. Some people said, I need a less stressful family. No. We must put our faith and trust in Jesus Christ and do what he says in his word. Now, while a Christian may feel insecure, the reality is we are very secure. Next slide, thanks, Julian. Hebrews chapter 4. You may feel insecure, but in fact, the truth is you are very secure. So let us come boldly to the throne of our gracious God. There we will receive his mercy, and we will find grace to help us when we need it most. Hebrews chapter 4, verse 16. And while a Christian may feel helpless, the reality is we have the greatest help available. Hebrews 13, 6. So we can say with confidence, the Lord is my helper, so I will have no fear. What can mere people do to me? And while a Christian may feel isolated, the reality is God is always at your side. Next slide, thanks, Julian. Hebrews 13, 5. Never will I leave you. Never will I forsake you. How often is that? Never. We need to trust in God's ability to deal with anything that threatens us. Philippians 4, 13. I can do everything through him who gives me strength. See, it's not even your strength. It's his strength. You're not strong enough, but he is. And if you're trying to do it on your own, guess what you're doing? You're doing it in your own strength. And he doesn't get the glory, and he doesn't help you because you can't. We must pray. 1 John 5, verse 14. This is the confidence we have in approaching God, that if we ask anything according to his will, he hears us. God has promised peace of mind to those who are willing to commit their anxieties to him. Now, the word worry is from the Old English wergen, which actually means to strangle or choke. The Greek word is merimneo, from meritzo, which means to divide, and nous, which means mind. This means a divided mind. It's really a great description of anxiety. Anxiety is where your mind is divided between legitimate thoughts and destructive thoughts. Anxiety takes your mind in two different directions. It starts as this small trickle of fear that meanders through the mind until it cuts this channel through which all of your thoughts begin to flow. Doesn't the Bible say a double-minded man is unstable in all he does? If you're thinking anxiety and worry and you're feeding that anxiety and worry, you're not feeding the faith. You have a divided mind. You're unstable in all you do. I know when I'm in great anxiety, I'm unstable. I don't think right, I don't speak right, I don't do right. And the Greek word merimneo was used by Jesus, by Peter and Paul 19 times in 17 different verses, and we'll probably look at those in future weeks. So when Jesus says, do not worry about your life, can any of you by worrying add a single hour to your life? He's using the word merimneo. And when Jesus speaks to Martha, who's upset and distracted and so busy while Mary sits at his feet, he says this, Martha, Martha, you are worried and upset about many things. He uses merimneo. In 1 Corinthians 7:32, Paul says, I want you to be free from the concerns of life. He's using the word merimneo. God did not design you to live in fear. Worry is putting question marks where God puts a full stop or an exclamation mark. Worry is the compound interest we pay on tomorrow's trouble. Continued anxiety happens when we fail to relate the situation that confronts us to the source of sufficiency in God. We let the problem get bigger than God is. How do we do that? Why do we do that? To worry is to assume a responsibility that is not yours to assume. To worry is to fail to recognize that God is bigger than any problem we might have, and He loves us enough to seek the highest good for us. Just look at the cross, come on. In fact, worry is a form of humanistic self-absorption, pride, and lack of trust. It's a practical atheism, acting as if there is no God to deal with the situation, or that God doesn't know your situation or doesn't care. That's atheism. Not believing God to be able to do what He says He can do. Could the musicians come, please? Now, the Apostle Paul faced a bit of anxiety in his life. Read the story. Quite a bit of anxiety in his life, more than you and I probably will ever have to face. And he was able to say this from Philippians chapter 4. Thanks. That's it. Always be full of joy in the Lord. I say it again. Rejoice. Let everyone see that you are considerate in all you do. Now that word considerate is not translated as being nice. It's that you consider what you do. You think about what you do. You process what you do. Let everyone see that you process everything that you do. Don't worry about anything. Instead, pray about everything. Tell God what you need and thank Him for all He has done. Then you will experience God's peace, which exceeds anything we can understand. His peace will guard your hearts and minds as you live in Christ Jesus. I'm going to read that again. You guys can sing whatever song you want. Either We Believe or Waymaker. Any one of those two. Any one of those two. I gave you a choice. Come on. Because the words of those songs are just perfect. Danny had no idea I was going to preach this today when she picked those songs. God's in the house, people. He's here. He wants us to deal with it. You want to say something? Go on then. You know, I hope you're not going to pick on me. Oh. Surprise, surprise, if she does.
And it's 2 hours before we have to be there that we have to...
I've got lounge passes. What's your problem?
Michael's right. We all live with anxiety. But be careful who you transfer that anxiety onto. A few weeks ago out in Sunday school, I was teaching exactly that verse that God looks after the flowers and He looks after the birds, and you don't have to worry about all these things because God will look after you. And I had one child put their hand up and say, yes, but I've got anxiety. And then another kid, and another, every single one of them said, yeah, but we get anxious, we have anxiety. And I said, okay, tell me what makes you anxious. And there were various things, but the main thing that came out was using the toilets at school. And what makes you anxious about using the toilets at school? So there was two things. One, somebody will open the door, or I won't be able to get out. And then I said to them, okay, has this ever happened to any of you? No. No. It was a fear that it may happen to them. And we're talking about 6, 7, 8, 9-year-olds who have labelled themselves with anxiety. If we believe that there is one true God who is going to supply all our needs and look after us, then we have to transfer that trust onto our kids.
And he said it, train a child in the way they should go.
I Who'd have thought an 8-year-old would be talking about anxiety and being too anxious to do things?
I blame the media.
So be careful. Yeah. Build your kids up. And the opposite to anxiety, I think, is resilience. We need to work on that.
Philippians 4, I'm going to read it again. Always be full of joy in the Lord. I say it again, rejoice. Let everyone see that you are considerate in all you do. Don't worry about anything. Instead, pray about everything. Tell God what you need and thank Him for all He has done. Then you will experience God's peace, which exceeds anything we can understand. His peace will guard your hearts and minds as you live in Christ Jesus. Last slide, thanks, Julian. Fear or faith, it's your decision. Over the next, few messages, I want to just pull this apart. But this morning, why don't you just bow our heads before we sing? Just to take in this moment. Lord, we all have worries. We all have circumstances that can cause us anxiety. And Lord, we're not belittling that in any way, shape, or form. Lord, these things are real in our lives. But if we are to truly trust you, Lord, then we need to speak to you about these things. Lord, half the time we go and talk to others about our problems and never bring them to the throne of grace. Oftentimes we run around in our heads, not trusting you, but not really meaning to not trust you, because it just kind of overwhelms us. Lord, I pray that as the world becomes more worried and more anxious about what's going on around them, Lord, that you'll keep us in perfect peace, as your word says. Lord, we know what's going to happen. We know that Matthew tells us all about what's going to be happening in our world before Jesus comes back. So it's not going to get any easier, Lord. But Lord, with you, we can do all things. So Lord, I pray that each one of us, as we leave today, begins to process. It's not going to happen overnight, but Lord, begin to process. Hang on. Let's give it to God first. Let's see what I need to do first. What are the things that I can do to minimize this? But at the same time, I just need to trust you, God. And remember, what's the worst thing that can happen? Well, how do I manage that? How do I cope with that? How do I make that happen and real in my life? So Lord, we give you our anxieties, we give you our fears this morning, and we worship you in Jesus' precious name. Amen.